You're listening to The American Journal with Rex Jones and Tim Tompkins. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the number one most powerful morning broadcast in the world. I am your host, Rex Jones, joined by Tim Tompkins, of course, sitting here in studio today, running up the news for you guys, going through it with a fine-tooth comb and from a 30,000-foot view, but also at the ground level. Tim, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, today's another day.
Today is another day.
We get to do this again. Always a pleasure to be able to have fun on this show.
Yeah, isn't it just a blast to be able to come in here and get prepped and work with the crew? And then we get to sit in here and basically we get to do our show on the network. And
yes,
it's phenomenal. And I love doing it. I know you do too. I thought yesterday went really well as well.
Yesterday was actually a really good day. I think Simon, we had Simon Dixon on yesterday.
Yes.
And he just had a lot to unpack about these hidden systems and the financial industrial complex.
We kept asking him questions and we were kind of looking to get to some like breaking news type of stuff, but he wants to give you like deep level overview on every point. And we really hope, we know our viewers and listeners are like really highly intelligent people that like those kinds of conversations. We appreciate you being here today. We hope to get you more breaking news updates.
Yeah, so
that's what Suleiman does.
That is exactly what Suleiman does. So we have Suleiman on at the at the top of the third hour at 10 o'clock. He's going to be coming on. He's one of those guys that actually watches breaking news as it happens. He's in spaces for
he's
12 hours a day.
So this is a guy that's live like 6 out of 7 of the days of the week. He's live for like 12 to 14 hours. He's on these calls, and what they do in these calls, it's a room, it's a Twitter space. We kind of all know what they are right at this point, but it's just people sharing the latest breaking news based on local events, people that live in these areas, people that know military officials, just constantly calling in breaking news, calling in update, explosion, chaos, war. And he's the guy really since the 12-day war that's been tracking all of it.
Yes, he has been tracking it.
So it's not just a thing he started to do now. So there's a lot of context he'll be able to give us as well for what's going on. And what I really want to know, and I know you probably want to know this as well, Tim, is what the hell did the civilian population think of what's going on right now? You look at these areas and you're like, when is a revolt going to ensue?
Now, which region are you talking about? The Iranians?
The Gulf states.
The Gulf states?
The Gulf states specifically.
Okay, so they were talking about this yesterday in a spaces that I was in, and these two guys were debating. Actually, someone was debating with Simon.
Right.
And somebody was trying to say that, you know, the Gulf states would just start revolting against their leadership. But no, they're honestly mostly happy because they have a good standard of living and they have all the things they need. The only scenario I could see where they would revolt is if you have a scenario where, you know, the desalinization plants are taken out.
Well, I mean, that's not like a far off scenario. That's very realistic.
Off.
I mean, that's what's happening right now. They're hitting civilian infrastructure already on both sides. And you talk about the people being comfortable. They're comfortable until the power goes off.
Yeah.
Right. So like it's a very fragile situation.
Yeah. I mean, now that does open up the door for that to happen on the other end, because Iran also has the same issues where they don't just have endless resources of water. They also have salinization.
Sure, but their desalinization only accounts for 3% of their total water pool, whereas some of these nations, it's a majority. I mean, if you look at Israel, for example, and this is just why, like, me and Tim, we're anti-war. We look at it just from a perspective of, like, why would you do this? We're not like, we're taking America and Israel's side. We're also not like, we're taking the Iranian side. That's not our position. We look at this as like, oh, well, the Mercedes hit the 18-wheeler on the highway, and there's a giant eight-car fire now, and there's body parts everywhere in the street. Why the hell would you do this? Is that not your calculation as well?
Yeah, and here's the thing. I see criticism. I get criticism every single day, depending on how you look at it, what your opinions, what
we
your
views
are.
We are the worst people ever. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm horrible.
No.
I'm a little impish today.
No, but it is true. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. But at the end of the day, we are trying to also find our way through the information just like everybody else.
And there's we can make mistakes.
We can make mistakes. But there's breaking news like every single day. There's something new happening on the cycle. So
you want to get to that? Let's get to Dear Leader's latest tweet. And here's the thing. We always put together a great presentation when we come in here. But at the same time, when we come in here, a new new Trump tweet immediately drops. So yeah. It's like a feature of the show. I'll go ahead and read it now.
This was at 7:44 a.m.
Yup. April Fool's Day. Maybe it's a joke. Iran's new regime president, much less radicalized and far more intelligent than his predecessors, has just asked the United States of America for a ceasefire. We will consider when Hormuz Strait is open, free, and clear. Until then, we are blasting Iran into oblivion. Or as they say, back to the Stone Age, President DJT. So I don't believe it's a new guy other than Prochevskin. And Prochevskin's been very clear throughout this entire thing. Prochevskin was a moderate, and he was elected because there is that large portion of the Iranian people that do want to work with the West and want to be more liberal and secular and these things, right? But as we did a deep dive on, maybe we need to do it again. Tim, you explained very clearly how their leadership structure works. Maybe you could break that down.
Yeah, so
the Iran, supreme leader and all
that. Yeah, the Iran system is a little bit different. Ever since they overthrew the Shah, they used to have a different they used to have like a monarchy system back in the 50s when the Shah was in place. And then you had the 70s hit, and then Ayatollah came in, and they made it more of a religious structure. So with the supreme leader is almost like a walking authority on earth. And I say
there's Allah to them, there's Muhammad to them, and then there's that guy.
Yeah. Supreme leader is like right up there at the top. To the Shia
Muslim, yeah.
Right? And so then he also delegates and dictates some of the other people that are underneath him as well. But again, he is the top of the spear.
And he runs the IRGC, and a panel of clerics are the people that he's supposed to be held accountable to. The government is kind of like, it's a lesser organization than the actual military. The supreme leader makes national security decisions.
IRGC has a lot of control over the country and the direction. And the president is kind of like almost like a puppet head in certain aspects. He focuses more on domestic
issues. I would just say like it's more like a Secretary of State, perhaps, you know, or not even Secretary of State, like Secretary of the Interior, you know, kind of a guy that handles domestic cabinet like positions. But let's get to this, because it's everything we're talking about and more, from CBS News. Trump to give important update on Iran at 9 p.m. tonight. Okay, now we've also seen Keir Starmer come out. We've also seen the Australian Prime Minister come out, and they're all talking about the Strait. They're talking about the oil crisis. I think this is going to be a preamble for the ground invasion. What do you think?
You know, this could be either a fiery speech where there's something that comes out of it, or it could be a nothing burger.
I think we're out of nothing burgers.
Are we?
Dude, all right. So like me and Tim, like we're working at the nothing burger shack. Like I'm flipping the burgers. You're putting them in the bag, giving them to the guy at the window. Like we got a whole system going, and then we're out of nothing burgers. And then we have an actual, like, the big enchilada is coming, and we're not prepared to cook it.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what this is. 'Cause how many Trump speeches have we watched? We're like, this is going to be the thing. He exposes the globalists, sent to prison. And he's just like, my runways are the best. Big, beautiful runways, like he did at the RNC right before he got elected. I think we're out of those now. I think it's going to be crashing out for real.
Yeah. I think he's at the point where he's feeling the pressure. He has to be feeling the pressure.
The rest
of the world is feeling the pressure. And people at home with gas being at $4 a gallon are feeling that pressure. So, yes, you're right.
Yeah, and then Hegseth says that the upcoming days will be decisive. Well, like, what does that mean?
I think it means more bombs.
Yes.
Didn't they just use a bunker buster bomb yesterday?
I'm sure. I think we only have 33 of those in our inventory.
Mm.
So it's just a complete disaster. To add on to the complete disaster, U.S. deploys third carrier strike group to the Middle East, and this is going on in California right now. We go to the NBC article. Another carrier strike group has deployed out of San Diego, the U.S. military or U.S. Navy confirmed, 1 month into the war on Iran. See, it wasn't a war. Remember when it wasn't a war? Remember
when it was 24 to 48 hours? Strategic military operation, Rex.
But seriously, like, do you remember when it was 24 to 48 hours?
Yeah, I mean, you said
when they were saying that. Well,
we said the Ukraine Russia war was going to end within 24 to 48 hours.
That's an excellent point. The USS Theodore Roosevelt departed Sunday to conduct. Oh, that's nice. Routine operations. Okay. Leading naval force. We're going to war. We're already in a war, but it's expanding now. Naval forces into the Indo-Pacific. A spokesperson for the U.S. Third Fleet said, adding that the flagship of the carrier group has more than 5,000 sailors and Marines who are highly trained, tested, and certified in all warfare areas. In the interest of operational security, we do not discuss future operation schedules or specific personnel numbers, the spokesperson said, before noting a carrier group's mission can be changed at any time. So they're going to combat. And like, the thing is, you can play cute with the language. You can do little rhetorical games. everyone knows what's going on.
Yes.
And because we've been doing the daily coverage, we've known what's been going on for weeks at this point. And like, that's why we have to talk about these same things over and over again. Like, this is a civil service to people, letting them know, hey, wake up. Wake up. Wake up and smell the roses. We're going to war, okay? Your sons and daughters are going to die. You're going to spend more and more money. You're going to be broke domestically. That's the deal, right? That's MIGA, M-I-G-A. Make Israel or Iran, doesn't matter which. Great again. The president literally said it himself.
He did. And it's so weird to watch this all play out, because we've had conflicts and wars over specific time periods, but nothing like this.
Sure.
Because this is now the inflection point of a new world order.
Yes.
Because this is the transition.
Yes.
Everyone's seeing that the American dollar is trying to get its last strike and
clawing the money
for survival, right?
Yeah.
Because of everything that happened since COVID. I was just doing a thought experiment, not to take away from this point.
Go ahead.
But if COVID never happened, imagine what would have changed. Because COVID was almost an inflection point in itself, where it changed the psychology of the entire globe, and specifically America.
You learn to accept these crises, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, you're locked down. You have time to think. A lot of transition happened. And I'm just thinking about, like, Biden messed up the whole economy. They pumped $6 trillion. And so it created this ripple effect of just change after change after change. And it's just accelerating. Like, yeah. we haven't taken our foot off the gas in like 6 years, folks. Just think about that.
Yeah.
Every single year, something new has come out, something crazy, even more crazier than the previous.
That's
year.
So true. I would say even longer than that. For a decade straight, we failed to take our foot off the gas. I mean, you look at the initial years of the first Trump administration, like that golden era period, which was really real between like 2016 to like late 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's because we weren't involved in putting our foot on the accelerator. But now that we've done that, there are no breaks anymore. We're going to go off the cliff.
Well, what do you think is the break? Like, how do we – is it we lose the Republicans and we lose the midterms and Democrats come in and they start filibustering everything and
– We got to primary the bad ones. We got to get really good people in there. I don't care if they're Republican, independent. It doesn't matter at this point. Here's the thing. This is why I know we cover a lot of different topics and you cover analytical systems, like to do the deep research. For me, I am passionately anti-war. And I believe every American or most Americans, like 75%+, if they are properly explained or if it's properly explained to them what's been going on, what's been taken from them, we've all been robbed. Okay, so it's easy to go up to somebody and say, hey, here are the facts. Someone came in your house and took all of your precious goods.
Well, and now we're seeing all of the dissatisfaction play out in the polls, do we not?
Yes, absolutely. And that's an excellent transition. Can we go to, let's see where it is on the sheet.
It's clip number 11, I think.
Clip number 11, Donald Trump's net approval rating. I believe that is.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and roll that because I'm curious.
Absolutely.
Costs. Take a look here. Take a look at Donald Trump's overall net approval rating. This is the lowest of his term, the lowest of his second term. We're talking about minus 17 points, 17 points underwater. And unlike in Donald Trump's first term, in which he was negative basically throughout his entire term, Trump actually started off in positive territory here in his second term. But now he's at the lowest point of his second term. But there's an even bigger comparison to be made, okay? So obviously Trump was elected once back in 2016, then he took a four-year break, and then, of course, he's serving his second term, and it's his second presidency. So I went back and I looked at all of the presidents at this point in a presidency, all of them at this point in a presidency, and guess what? Donald Trump is the lowest ever at this point in a presidency, lower than Joe Biden, lower than Jimmy Carter, lower than Ronald Reagan. He's lower than all of them at this point in a presidency. You know, you can make any sort of swimming comparison you want. Maybe you want to make a comparison with a diver like Greg Louganis. Maybe you want to make a swimming comparison, Michael Phelps. Maybe if you're me, like an old Jewish soul, you want to make a comparison with Mark Spitz. Either way, he is very much.
You heard it. All of them. All of them, Rex.
Right. And here's the thing. I'm going to turn myself down the headphones here. I keep forgetting to do that. Here's the thing that's so wild about this. The argument to people watching us right now that are getting angry, they're going, they're using CNN, and CNN is fake news. Donald Trump told me that. Okay, well, Donald Trump also told you that when they gave him 100% approval rating and said that everyone liked him and that nobody else, he got better ratings than Kim Jong-un, basically, we have to accept that. So this, therefore, must also be true.
Well, even if you, whatever, who this might be from CNN, I think that's what you're saying.
Sure.
Even if you look at Fox, right?
Yeah.
Fox is reporting, I think, above 60% disapproval ratings. And I've seen plenty of videos, screenshots of that.
Sure.
Maybe if we can find something like that. It's across the board, and it's not sure. Hard to find the facts, you know. And yeah. You can live in a box or put your head in the sand and pretend like it's not happening. But it doesn't matter whether it was a Democrat or whether it was a Republican. No one wants to be in these situations or lied to, and that's what's driving these poll numbers.
Sure. The argument that I'm making by pointing out the CNN hypocrisy is what we see on Fox News a lot with the polling and with the propaganda, really, is the reinforcement of the base still supports President Trump. The base, the base, the base. You hear this over and over and over again. They're not worried about the independent. They're not even worried about the Democrats. And I think it's funny that we hear them talk about the midterms so much. They don't care about the midterms at all. They know they're going to lose everything because of their foreign policy. They made a calculated decision to spend their political capital now, in my opinion.
Well, here's the thing, Rex. When I was kind of more on the left side back in the early 2020s,
right?
I was looking at all these Democrats drinking the Biden Kool-Aid, and they're just like gulping that stuff up. And I'm like, guys, they're doing backflips on it.
That's right. Somersault.
So it's like, I'm like, do you guys not see the issues here?
Yes.
Are you not feeling the fact that your inflation's almost at 10% and you just continue to defend this man? I had an entire argument with my cousin. I'm like, you're deranged. You don't know what you're talking about. You're not keeping up with the facts and you're just continuing to take it.
Yeah, well, you know, the base still supports him. We think he's right about everything. We never disagree. Please, you could buy MAGA merch, okay? And that's the argument from everybody online that's still supporting this. And here's the thing. Don't do that, okay? Wear the badass Iraq Iran war t-shirt that we have, okay? Because that's promoting a true and real message. And that's the reason why we do things here like that, is so that you can be proud to wear something on your chest that is a true adventure. It's not an adventure anymore to wear merchandising for a sports team that's betrayed you or sold you out. It's pro-American to be anti-war.
And don't you guys have those like 1776? Like, I mean, the original founding fathers, they had their own. That is what we should really be anchored in, right?
And that's exactly what my dad says. And everyone's going, you're not MAGA, you're not MAGA. Well, we were 1776 far before we were MAGA. We were constitutionalists. We were classical liberals, as we described ourselves. And look how all the art and wonder and beauty and history has been taken out of politics, and all the knowledge of the people that came before us and what they said about these specific situations. And it's been replaced by an orange guy on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And the boomers just watch it. And we watch it too. So we're just as guilty.
Now,
let's go to clip one, actually.
Yeah, let's go to clip one.
Let's go to Trump.
Better quality Trump.
Today they hit $4.
We're $4, and we have a country that's not going to be throwing a nuclear weapon at us in six months.
But Americans are feeling the effects in the interim.
And they're also feeling a lot safer.
What is the plan to bring them back down?
All I have to do is leave Iran, and we'll be doing that very soon. And they'll become tumbling down. And stock prices were up today almost to a record because they know two things. Number one, we have a safe country. We had to take a little detour because we had a madman named Khomeini, who sadly is no longer with us.
Khomeini.
So all those Americans, I believe the 13 Americans dead and the hundreds of casualties so far, the hundreds of injured, it's just you know, a little excursion, a little detour we have to take.
Hey, Rex, calm down. Just like Pam Bondi said, and now Trump's reiterating.
Dude, the stock market.
The S&P 500.
Dude, I keep forgetting
the
stock market.
It's at all-time highs. That's all you need to pay attention
Holy
to,
crud,
folks.
Dude,
we don't care if your gas price is at $4.
Dude, when I hear that, I'm just like, I got to vote Republican down the ticket. Like, it's just like neural programming. It just works on me. And that's what they think works on you. And they give you that information. And it's just the average American, because of the price increases, they know it's not true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like we covered yesterday, if the stock market goes up, these companies, if they make more money, they pay themselves dividends off of these crises.
Yes, we did cover that yesterday.
Literally, we talked about that.
Crises create opportunities for the companies, and they do not trickle that down to you guys. And the problem is, like you had mentioned, prices go up quickly. They ain't coming down.
No, no. Let's go to clip number three. Let's go to Donald Trump mocks Iran to close this segment out.
The Iranian government threatened a bunch of U.S. companies today in the region, including Google, Apple.
What did they threaten them with? PB guns? Or,
well, that's...
They don't have much left to threaten.
My question for you is, are you...
I don't know. I mean, what are they... You made a statement. What did they threaten them with? I don't know. Tell me, how did they threaten them?
Well, all I know is that they threatened them, sir.
What does that mean?
Fair enough.
They said something nasty?
Is the government... touch with these companies? Are you helping to backstop them?
You don't even know what the threat was. What was the threat? I haven't heard it. What was the threat? Did they say they're going to blow them up? They're going to hit them? You know what they're not going to do? They're not going to hit them with a nuclear weapon.
Yeah. Is it something you're concerned about, sir?
No.
Iran's IRGC issues a warning that they will target 18 U.S. technology companies if the U.S. continues targeted assassinations of Iranian leaders beginning on April 1st. Those companies include NVIDIA, okay. Apple, Microsoft.
Most of those people are dead already. Yeah, Peter.
What do you think about this?
I think he spent too much time at the cinema. You know, I think he thinks that he's in a movie, and, you know, he may be partially right about that. He is in a movie, but it's not an action movie. It's a horror movie, and you're the monster. Like, that's where we're at right now. And he goes, they're going to threaten us with what? They're going to threaten us with BB guns? No, they have the strait is closed.
Yeah.
The strait is closed to Western
traffic. The threat is as real as possible. Iran knows they have some cards to hold.
Sure.
And so they're flexing those muscles.
Sure. And the thing is, maybe you could even make an argument that the U.S. is, quote unquote, doing well if you use the metric of like killing the leadership and trying to destabilize the country as a whole. You can't make the argument of like there is no battle. We've won the battle when you're actively fighting.
No, that's Vietnam rhetoric.
But like, yeah, it
is
literally.
We've bombed Operation Orange. We got all the chemicals out there. We burned a million civilians. We killed a lot of the North Vietnamese, and we're winning. But well, sir, we haven't moved the battle lines. Well, it doesn't matter. Well, just pay attention.
In Vietnam, all we had to do was establish a base, and, you know, get our people out of there and whatever. And look how that turned out. Right, we're entering into another quagmire. And the thing that we discuss a lot on these shows is that you don't get to pick and choose these global decisions. Even if you are the president of the United States, like we talked about with Simon and so many other phenomenal guests, Tim, the reality of these transnational capital forces and just entities around the globe, the president and others are middle management at best. So we're entering into an age now where people have been trained to focus on the leadership instead of the man behind the curtain. Well, I'm here to tell you right now, on the American Journal, that is what we focus on, the man behind the curtain, what he's doing, who or what he actually is. And we're so happy to be here with you today. I want to remind you that for every product that you buy, you're going to get a subscription. That's a very cool offer. You're going to get or every subscription that you get, you're going to get a limited edition t-shirt. You want to get that limited edition t-shirt now, thealexjonesstore.com. I'm in Mess It Up. Don't mess up the URL. Go to realexjonesstore.com right now.
Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone. That is the precursor to glutathione and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, giving them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com for 50% off.